540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is optimistic about the chances of pushing through legislation to raise the debt ceiling.
It's going to become law.
The vote is scheduled for tonight. CBS's Nicole Killian reports on those against the bill.
At least 20 Republicans say they'll vote no on a final bill. The deal brokered between Speaker McCarthy and President Biden has some hardline conservatives calling for the speaker's ouster.
He's catastrophically failed in this negotiation.
It's also tough to swallow for some progressive Democrats concerned about tougher work requirements and other carve-outs.
To have the president solely negotiating with Republicans itself, I don't think was a really good look.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration will require all new vehicles to include automatic emergency braking. Deputy Secretary of Transportation Polly Trottenberg.
AEB systems are going to be critical to reducing the harm of people outside the vehicle, inside the vehicle, reduce fatalities, injuries, and of course, damage. We also hope this will help many crashes be avoided altogether.
There's anger in Iowa after a partial building collapse. CBS's Adriana Diaz explains why.
Save five lives!
Protesters have been camped out near the partially collapsed building, demanding Davenport city officials find the five people they say are still missing before a demolition.
Where's Brandon? Where's Ryan?
Officials say two people may still be in the rubble. We spoke to Brandon Colvin Jr., who says that includes his dad.
Do you feel the city is making every effort to find your dad?
No, I don't think they're making any efforts at all.
The family of an 11-year-old Mississippi boy who was shot by a police officer is suing for $5 million. Their attorney, Carlos Moore.
My client, Darren Murray, did everything right and nothing wrong, and yet he still was shot point blank, center range, in the chest.
The war between Ukraine and Russia is increasingly being fought from the sky.
Both sides in this war are relying heavily on weaponized drones. On Tuesday, a swarm of them attacked Moscow, revealing the Russian capital's vulnerability. Vladimir Putin called it a clear sign of terrorist activity. Many would call that ironic, given that Putin invaded his neighbor. A new U.S. military aid package to Ukraine is reportedly expected to include munitions for drones.
Correspondent Holly Williams reporting. The markets are down. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A deer farm in Sauk County is closed after a 10-year-old doe tested positive for chronic wasting disease. There's no word on how widespread the infestation is. The 22-acre deer farm will stay closed while state and federal officials look into it. Talks resume this week between Milwaukee leaders and state lawmakers working on the state budget. Mayor Cavalier Johnson tells the Milwaukee Rotary Club he likes the chances of new city and county sales taxes.
We're the only big city that does not have this additional tool. And so we're finally working to fix that. We're so close to getting something done there.
Johnson says the first new influx of money in 30 years will make Milwaukee a better and safer city. In sports, the Blue Jays beat the Brewers last night 7-2. Julio Teheran starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
We're all familiar with the three whats. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season, from clipping your horse for competition season to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents this lovely Wednesday afternoon, May 31st. It's almost June already. I cannot believe how fast 2023 is going. Don't remind me. But we got a great show today. I got my friend, my boss, my mentor, Mr. Andre Walton, Executive Director of Our Wisconsin Revolution, joining us today. Andre, how are you doing this Wednesday afternoon?
Thanks for having me, Will. I'm doing great. I'm very happy it's June after a long winter. We deserve this precious weather, so we're going to cherish it while we have it. Thanks for having me on today.
It's sunny and 85 in my neck of the woods, so I cannot complain. I'm not going to take full credit for that because part of that is that, we're starting to finally reach that Wisconsin summer. But we got some fun news and notes for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about student loan debt cancellation and the provision in the Biden GOP deal, which could be catastrophic. Andre is here as my expert witness to testify to that. But I'm going to start with a little bit of local news, reading from a piece at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Todd Richmond of the Associated Press. Wisconsin legislators to consider bills tightening prohibitions on National Guard sex assaults. Lawmakers are set to consider a package of legislation that would tighten prohibition on sexual assault within the Wisconsin National Guard after a scathing federal report found commanders had been for years flouting federal requirements for handling complaints. A study committee made up of legislators, district attorneys, and military veterans began working on legislation last summer to tighten oversight of sexual assault complaints within the Wisconsin National Guard. The State Assembly's Military Affairs Committee was set to start the process towards floor votes with a public hearing on the bills Wednesday morning. Now, we have seen that the U.S. military has had a number of issues in this regard going back 20, 30 years. Sexual misconduct has been a long standing problem. The Department of Defense received 8,942 reports of sexual assault in the fiscal year 2022 alone, which was up about 0.8% from the 8,866 reports it received in 2021 and 14% from the 7,816 reports tracked in 2020. This was according to the department's reports tracking sexual assault. I am not surprised, honestly, with the military's longstanding reputation of swiping these kind of issues under the rug. I do want to note that the probe began after U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin received complaints in 2018 from Wisconsin Air National Guard Master Sergeant Jay Ellis about high-ranking officers doing very little to address sexual harassment and assault complaints within the 115th Fighter Wing Security Squadron, dating all the way back to 2002. Now, Baldwin asked the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations to look into Ellis's allegations. And the National Guard Bureau's Office of Complex Investigations ultimately agreed to look into the matter, releasing its findings in December of 2019. This report found that commanders launched internal investigations rather than referring complaints to local police and the National Bureau. Surprise, surprise, Andre, right? We'll investigate ourselves. Oh, we found out that we've done nothing wrong. Where have I heard that before? And this is, as this is required by the Defense Department regulations, they skirted that and they used poorly trained investigators who sometimes falsely presented themselves as Bureau investigators, failing to track complaints or enter them into the Defense Department database, and did not note substantiated sexual offenses in offenders' evaluation records, according to the report. This just screams, do as I say, not as I do. The powers that be are going to do everything in their power to control the narrative, to dictate how this story hits the media and what the regular American civilians will hear and say about it. Do you have any thoughts, Andre?
I mean, it's a continuous problem of law enforcement and military of unaccountability. I mean, when it comes to those branches of government, there seems to be a very, very sacred place for the government to not hold them accountable, whether it's for killing innocent civilians or for committing war crimes or committing any type of illegal acts of any kind. It seems to be that there's a lack of accountability from our government. So it's not surprising, but I think the point that stands out to me is that, you know, they're the ones going to do the internal investigations, and surprise, surprise, they're probably going to not find any wrongdoing. And if they do find any wrongdoing, they'll probably cover it up or try to whitewash it to the point that it doesn't seem as bad as what it really is. So I'm not surprised by that. This is kind of a continuous thing that happens in the military. It happens in local law enforcement. And we've talked about it before. It's even happened in local Sheboygan Police Department with their sexual assault problem. So I'm not surprised by it, but I think the surprising part is that it's going to be an internal investigation, which I shouldn't be surprised about as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it happens in real estate as well. You look at the building collapse in Davenport, Iowa over the weekend, right? Police have secured the area. They're not allowing family and friends who can see the building, who are offering to sign waivers stating they, you know, if they are hurt or injured, they understood the risks. They want to go in. They want to search for the people and pets that are still missing. And they have been told no. The building is planned for demolition, but obviously that shouldn't even be part of the equation if there are still missing individuals involved. And that's still a developing story. So I'm sure we'll touch on that either later in the week or getting into next week once more information is clear. But there's a lot of very, very questionable behind the scenes reporting that I'm seeing coming out of Iowa, particularly involvement with the mayor's family, that his father might have some financial investment in this building, that it was deemed safe less than 2 weeks ago before they went back now post collapse and marked the building as having failed inspection. It screams cover up in every aspect. And it seems that we're seeing Capitol use their ability to control the narrative to cover up their faults and mistakes in every industry applicable. I mean, we saw it with the military right here. I will note as well in regards to the Wisconsin National Guard, their commander, Major General Donald Dunbar, resigned just as this report was released at Governor Tony Evers' request, quite literally hours before the report of the release to the media. In other words, I was going to skate by until this became a big story. Once it became a big story, we had to have a fall guy. And in this situation, we're going to, you know, force you to resign in order to save face. It's grotesque, but it's about accountability. You noted that, Andre. I think that we have a real lack of accountability in the United States. Nobody wants to be at fault for anything. You always want to push the blame onto somebody else. And whether or not that, you know, whether or not we're able to change that, it really comes down to local reporting. And I think that's the value of civic media and other boots on the ground journalists that are the ones that are asking these questions to people's face. So let's get to let's move on to our next topic of conversation, Andre. I want to touch briefly before we get into student loans in the main segment on the upcoming debt ceiling deal. Obviously, we touched on it briefly yesterday. I want to read from a piece from The Lever today. Debt deal gives fossil fuel lobby a legal shield. The Biden administration and congressional Republicans have slipped provisions into the proposed debt deal that would expedite construction of a controversial fossil fuel pipeline and attempt to block courts from hearing challenges to its legality, according to the text of the legislation. The language was inserted into the bill amid a flood of campaign cash from executives at Next Era Energy, one of the companies spearheading the pipeline, and they were throwing money at, guess who, Senators Kristen Sinema and Senator Joe Manchin. The bill not only mandates approval of a major gas pipeline, it also omits proposals to expedite construction of transmission lines that energy grid experts, say are necessary to transition the country off fossil fuels. The pipeline measure is part of the 99-page legislation that President Joe Biden's White House negotiated with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to raise the debt ceiling and keep the country from defaulting on its payments. This package, which includes cuts to the IRS budget, the resumption of student loan payments that we'll touch on momentarily, and new work requirements for social safety net programs, is serving as a vehicle to push through the pipeline and energy permitting fast-tracking measures championed by Senator Joe Manchin and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Also included in the bill is a section requiring approval of the 300-mile Mountain Valley Pipeline, which environmental groups say would emit more than 26 coal plants worth of greenhouse gases amid a worsening climate crisis. Related provisions attempt to block judicial review of federal permits issued for the project, potentially killing off ongoing court cases that could slow or halt it and transfer any challenges to the legality of the maneuver itself to a more sympathetic federal appeals court. Holy moly, Andre. I mean, this shouldn't be surprising in the slightest. We have made no attempts to curb the upcoming climate emergency. And in fact, a lot of the ways the Biden administration has kind of bent the knee to coal barons such as Joe Manchin. Since the beginning of Biden's term, progressives have called out on the president and Congress to embrace the same tactic known as jurisdiction stripping to protect abortion and other civil rights from hostile federal courts. Instead, the White House is using the maneuver to try to help the natural gas industry complete yet another project that locks in new fossil fuel infrastructure, despite scientists' increasingly dire climate warnings. Does this come as any surprise to you, Andre?
No, it doesn't. But I think this is what I want the audience to really pay attention to. Political theater. The government is great at making you focus in on something that isn't the real true intention of what they're trying to do. So what was the conversation about when this debt ceiling argument started? It was all about what could happen if the U.S. defaults on its loans. And that was a conversation. Then people were worried about the economy, what can happen to the U.S. If it defaults on its debts. All while that conversation was happening, the pipelines was getting put through, a provision on student loan debt was getting put through, food aid requirements were getting put through.
$85 billion increase to the military budget.
And again, that's why it was very important for the media to focus on what could happen if the U.S. defaults on its loans, because they didn't want the conversation to be on what they really wanted. And also the fact that Joe Biden could have used the 14th Amendment to avoid this whole political theater. So at the end of the day, it really wasn't a situation that even had to happen. We didn't even have to go into this process. But even before the conversation of the 14th Amendment came up, this situation could have been dealt with when the Democrats held the White House, the Senate, and Congress. So, I mean, there's Congress people. Congress people are coming out right now and saying we should address this when we had full control of government, and then we wouldn't have this problem. So again, this is the conversation we continue to have, Will. It's controlled opposition. It's making it seem like you're opposed to something when you're actually not. So it's constantly a situation where
we're going to keep Democrats the tangent rolling after the break, Andre. We'll be right back. Give us a call, 844-967-2789.
If you love to spend time in the kitchen, elevate your cooking game with a pantry full of premium hemp products from Mary Jane's Hemp Shop in Waukesha. Mary Jane sells flights of Himalayan sea salt, raw sugar flights, local raw honey, and just in time for summer, a variety of salt rubs for meat and grilling. Not sure how to use the products in your own kitchen? Check out Mary Jane's YouTube channel for ideas and recipes. Elevate your cooking game at Mary Jane's Jane's Hemp Shop, 335 West Main Street, Waukesha, or online at maryjanespantry.shop.
Weather brought to you by Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot, or call us at 262-278-6590.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with a slight chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 89. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight. Lows around 62. Mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 89. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
Conversation that's not confined to the borders of the city of Waukesha.
We cover all of southeastern Wisconsin, baby.
The Shaw. WAUK.
Welcome back, party people. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And because you are fortunate enough to be here on Party Week, Will and Evan, and my special guest today, Mr. Andre Walton, Executive Director of Our Wisconsin Revolution, we are talking the debt ceiling bill right now. And Andre, you were on a bit of a roll before the break. I want to toss it back to you so you can finish your train of thought. Let's hear it.
Yeah. I'll actually change what I was talking about a little bit. But another point that I really want to point out is who was behind this. So this is very well known, and it was put out by the Lever News, is that the people who were pushing McCarthy and the right wing Republican Party to really go hard on this debt ceiling bill and add those provisions was the same think tank that was backing the loosening of child labor laws, which is fascinating to me, because what they're trying to do is loosen up the social safety net so that they can put more people back into work.
What was this think tank, Andre?
That they didn't actually put the name of the think tank in the article, but they did say it's the same think tank that was backing the rolling back of child labor laws, gotcha. Which is really concerning. So I'm definitely going to dig into that a little bit more. But another point that I want to make about this is that the Republican Party were making this about saving the U.S. money and making sure that we don't go into more debt, right? But if that was the case, why did you pass a $3.5 trillion tax cut to the rich? The actual savings that they will have on this, on making work requirements increase, will actually be minuscule to $3.5 trillion. So it actually is not actually going to reach that goal that they're actually saying they're going for. If they really wanted to address the deficit and the debt, they would go reduce those tax cuts. But that's not what they want to do. It's really about, you know, giving back to the donors and making sure that they serve obviously the corporate interests and the business owners. So that's what it's really about. So that's really what I wanted to.
I think we got a couple examples, actually, Andre, of that. The most obvious is IRS funding, right? The IRS is one of the only institutions that can return more money to the U.S. government by investing more money in it. So the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office website, has a publication noting that a $1 increase in spending on the IRS's enforcement activity results in $5 to $9 in increased revenue, because every dollar you give the IRS gives them more teeth to go after the incredibly wealthy tax evaders that litter the United States, right? These individuals that are withholding billions and billions of dollars from U.S. tax revenue, we can go after them, but the IRS has to have the ability to. You have to fund them. Investing in the IRS nets positive returns for the U.S. government. So it's weird that the Republican elected officials would be attempting to, quote unquote, save money by cutting the IRS's budget, when in reality, that's one of the only entities on earth that will reward you with more revenue back by giving them more.
And you know what's spending. What's fascinating about that argument as well is because they say, oh, the Biden administration wants to hire more IRS agents to go after middle class and working poor. But actually, that's actually the reverse of what happens.
The exact opposite. Yeah.
When you have less agents, they actually go after poor people in middle class more because it's more affordable to go after them. When you have more agents, it's more easy for the IRS to go after rich people because they have more people and agents to go after. So it's actually the reverse effect. So it's one of those things like the reverse Robin Hood effect.
It takes a lot of money, resources, and people power to go after some of these ultra wealthy individuals who might have teams of some of the, you know, highest paid, most successful lawyers in the world working at their behest. You can't just send one young IRS staffer at them and attempt to be able to do that. The IRS just doesn't have the ability to keep up with that. So you're exactly right. It's manipulation of the narrative because they're very well aware that the IRS brings more money in the more you invest into it. They're just able to turn the conversation on its head by suggesting that they want to have the ability or that want more manpower to attack, you know, poor and working class individuals instead of being able to go after the true hordes of wealth, which is the incredibly wealthy tax evaders. I think another example, too, of the cutting funding to save money example that we saw is with the work requirements for people ages 49 to 54 now that are being implemented. There are reports coming out that the amount of people that will lose benefits that are in this age 49 to 54 range is less than the amount of veterans and children that have gained benefits, which also makes it a net financial negative. And I want to say that all of these people should be receiving government assistance. What is the role of a government if not to protect its citizens from the inherent problems of a capitalist system? But I think it's incredibly disingenuous of a lot of elected Republican officials to be harping on how important it is to save money, you know, how the Democrats are just wasting money. They're inefficient, blah, blah, blah. And they're cutting money in situations that's actually hurting the long term bottom line of the U.S. government.
Yeah. And one of the fascinating things when it comes to that is that it might actually cost more to implement this rule. For example, there's going to be more paperwork. People are going to have to do more applications.
Administrative costs,
yeah,
are gonna
there's
going
to be more people you need to hire to process these applications. So it's actually not going to work very well in that part. But another aspect of this is more majority of the people who actually get food benefits are actually working. So actually what you're doing is putting more of a strain on working people. It's a very small amount of people who actually do not work at all, who actually have food benefits. So actually it's not really helping. In fact, it's just making the bureaucracy more worse and actually making the paperwork increase as well. So it's another one of those situations where they're pretending to save, but actually in the long term, it's going to cost the U.S. government and local municipalities more money.
I think it's an attack on the poor because they know that that's what their voting base wants to hear. It reminds me of that famous clip of the Trump voter who said he's not going after the right people. Right. We saw this in Wisconsin with the ballot referendum questions. Right. They were already law, but Republicans wanted to throw them on the ballot to try to drive turnout for the upcoming Supreme Court race. So we're going to be right back after the break with our meat and potatoes conversation of the day, student debt provision in the upcoming debt ceiling bill. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and because you're so lucky, Will, Evan, and Andre, see you right after the break.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul.
Waukesha's famous farmer's market.
And The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
When I'm in the car, I'm always listening.
CBS News Brief. House leaders are rallying for support for the debt ceiling bill. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
I support it without hesitation, reservation, or trepidation. Not because it's perfect, But in divided government, we, of course, cannot allow the perfect to be the enemy of the good.
The government will require new vehicles have automatic braking systems. Deputy Secretary of Transportation Polly Trottenberg.
When deployed, AEB systems can potentially bring a vehicle to a complete halt or at least slow them down so that there's significantly less damage on impact.
CBS News has learned former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will announce his run for the Republican presidential nomination next week. Political contributor Joel Payne.
Probably Christie is a bit of a stalking horse for some other Republicans who can land some blows on Donald Trump in a way that maybe other Republicans aren't uniquely set up to do, but he is not in a position to win the Republican primary.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nathmayer. Here's what you need to know. A group of Republican lawmakers introducing a bill to alter Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban. It would increase the penalty for performing an abortion while clarifying medical procedures to save a pregnant woman's life. Attorney General Josh Call and a group of doctors are suing to overturn that 1849 ban. They say a 1985 law allowing abortions up to the point of viability takes precedence. The case is expected to come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The risk of fire danger is high in most of Wisconsin until we finally get more rain. The Department of Natural Resources and local fire departments have responded to more than 90 wildfires in just the last week. In sports, the Blue Jays beat the Brewers last night by a score of 7-2. I'm Jane Nathmayer. This is Civic Media News.
Transform yourself and your fitness routine with Soulful Fitness in Brown Deer. With 25 years of experience, Lisa and her team at Soulful Fitness offer personal training in a variety of classes, including nutrition, kickboxing, boot camps, and yoga. You'll find a private, personalized atmosphere that caters to all fitness levels, from personal training sessions to virtual classes and everywhere in between. For fitness that's personal, visit soulfulfitness.com. That's SOLFUL fitness.com.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress? But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media Network of radio stations.
One, two, three, four. One, two.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
Party people, it's Wednesday, May 31st. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian and Will and Evan celebrating party week. I'm so happy to have all you party people with us today. I'm also happy to be joined by Executive Director of our Wisconsin Revolution, Andre Walton. Andre, we're talking the debt ceiling, and I do want to give one more quick comment, I guess, point of personal privilege before we jump into the student debt provision. I found a clip, Ev, if you could share the clip of Glenn Grothman, Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District Representative. We talked before the break a little bit about the war on the poor that it appears that a lot of elected Republican officials seem to be seem to be engaging in, you know, a little bit deeper than just the culture war. They're going after the right people. They know that this does well with their base, and they've been trying to capitalize on the messaging. Listen to what Glenn Grothman had to say today.
But they left low-income housing untouched. I think as far as discouraging work and discouraging marriage, I think low-income housing is even a more dangerous program than the food stamps. So I'm including low-income housing in the mix of having work requirements. The amendment as drafted just includes Section 8 housing, which is an error on my part because there are other low-income housings as well. But that's what we have before us. I would appreciate it if you'd let that to the floor.
Gross. Absolutely gross. Quiet part out loud. They're not trying to hide it anymore, especially in a country that has such a massive, massive shortage of affordable housing right now. Where does Glenn expect these people to live? Does he want like worker communities once again? Amazon can just build a neighborhood, force the employees to work all day, then come home and pay their rent right back to their boss. I just can't understand.
We're already getting there, Will.
Can hear that.
We're already getting there.
Yeah.
We have companies that have doctor's offices on campus, right? You're not even leaving work to go to the doctor. We're getting there.
And we know company towns are bound to fail. Why? Because that's been tried in the past. It was grotesque. It's your home is your most valuable asset for the vast majority of Americans. And it appears that this rent culture, rent-centric culture that has kind of taken over private equity, the Republican elected officials want to drive that throughout all of society. They want to prevent any low-income housing. They want to, I'm not really sure what they're getting at here. If wages and full-time hours aren't increasing, I don't know how they expect working people to even afford their rent, let alone be able to purchase their own home. Andre, thoughts?
Again, not surprised, but let me tell you about an example that actually does housing the right way. So Vienna does it the right way. So they have beautiful public housing and everyone can basically apply and live in it except for the top 5% of society. And as a result, everybody has well adequate housing. There is no major homeless population in Vienna, and people love living in public housing. So it's fascinating that we continue to go the opposite route when there's proven ways of working out affordable housing. But Glenn Grothman clearly wants to go in the direction of endless homelessness, which I don't see how that benefits his thought of getting people more into work, because if you don't have a home, how are you going to apply for a job if you don't have an address? So that's fascinating to me.
I don't think he thought that far in the future.
Yeah, I don't think he thought that through. He's just kind of using his
Keep in mind, he's been receiving a taxpayer-funded salary since 1993. He's 67 years old. So that's the vast majority of his life that U.S. taxpayers have been paying him. I also have to note that he's one of 49 Republicans who voted against Food Security for Veterans Act. So it doesn't appear to be just food stamps and other dangerous programs that are discouraging work and marriage. He seems to think anything that benefits the poor and working class Americans is just unacceptable. So before I feel terrible, Andre, we're going to push back the debt conversation one more second. I want to hit up Nick on line one. Nick from Madison, how you doing on this Wednesday afternoon, Nick?
I'm good. I have a good example in my own life. The last 6 months, I had to cut way back just to pay the bills, whatever. And I knew I'd be doing better in the future, and I'm doing better now. But I'm immediately now able to go out and spend some of my money around town, you know, go to a restaurant instead of getting a $7.99 pizza at Aldi. I had to quit donating to a lot of the good causes here in Madison, and I immediately am on the phone to donate to WORT after, you know, a year or so not being able to. So immediately, if you get a little break here and there, you know, it doesn't have to be much, then you can go out and spend your money for different businesses that need you to come out. So can't that be studied by an economist or somebody to show that it stimulates the economy to take it away from everybody? That's, you know, if they had a little more in their pocket, then they could spend, you know?
No, you're exactly right, Nick. Nail on the head. And the vast majority of Americans understand that. The ultra wealthy get ultra wealthy by hoarding their resources. Another $1,000, another $10,000, $100,000 to a person with billions in assets, it's just more zeros that they add to their bank account, right? But you give $1,000 to somebody in the working class, they're going to go out and spend that money. They're going to spend that money locally. They're going to put their kids into the rec department. They're going to go to a local restaurant, a mom and pop shop to buy something from their house. That is the purpose of a capitalist economy, is that you have enough spare money for regular working class people to go out and spend it. The exchange of currency is how you keep these economies rolling. The vast majority of us understand that, but you can't underestimate the influence and power of those who own the vast majority of capital, as they don't want to relinquish any of the control they have over nearly every aspect of society. So, Andre, now it's your time to shine. I've been pushing it off for too long because it just makes my blood boil. But we're going to jump into the student debt provision in Biden GOP deal. It could be catastrophic, according to Common Dreams article. What if payments began and millions, literally millions of people default on their debt? What if seniors get their Social Security checks garnished en masse? How are we as an economy going to be able to handle the immediate necessity of billions and billions of dollars of student loan payments being clicked right back into action?
Yeah, this is very terrifying for me individually, because I have $39,000 in student debt. And I'm not going to say I've been living a high life, but it has made my life a little bit more comfortable now that the fact that the pause was continuing to go on. But let me read you the language. So the language says it prohibits the education secretary from using any authority to implement extension of the federal student loan debt repayment pause. So basically, if this is enacted, they would basically, the pause would be terminated 60 days after June 30th. And the reason why this is controversial is because no longer can the education secretary, along with President Biden, extend the pause. It would have to go through Congress. And we know that the Republican control, nothing's getting done in Congress, and there's absolutely nothing ever going to happen in the Senate. So basically what Biden did in this deal is he arbitrarily gave up the power to continue this pause. Now, why this is frustrating to me is because he can let this out of his hands. He can say, hey, if it were still in my hands, I would have extended it, but I have to go through Congress now.
It's accountability. We talked about it earlier. Nobody wants to be held accountable.
So now he has an excuse not to continue the pause, even though he necessarily didn't want to in the first place, but he knew that public pressure was working toward against him, because a huge part of his base that got him elected was younger people, so people under 35.
That's something we should touch on, Andre. You and I know exactly. This as organizers. I have heard from so many young people. If it comes down to Biden versus Trump again, they will not vote for Joe Biden because Joe Biden told them he would get rid of their student debt, and he did not. Now, they're not saying they're going to vote for Trump. They have explicitly said, I won't vote for Trump either. What they have said is, I will stay home. And we have talked on Dueling Tangents for months and months and months now. Anybody who follows American politics knows this. When young people vote, mm-hmm. we tend to have good electoral results. And a lot of the issues we're seeing around the country is that young people statistically don't vote. Why you would throw away a slam dunk like this is beyond me.
Again, and we actually, I'm glad the gentleman who just called on the phone just brought up that topic, because what is this going to do? One thing that we didn't take to account is when we had student loan payments going on, we didn't have this high inflation. So food didn't cost as much. Rent wasn't as high. The cost of living wasn't as high. So now if you implement the repayments, people aren't going to have the money. So there is a huge risk of more defaults than previously. There's also the situation, the economy is going to stagnate. The fact that these people have had more money in their pockets mean, guess what? We were just talking about it. They were spending it. So they were going to the movies. They were going out to eat. They were going to, to
all
whatever
of the
they want to do.
Exactly. That they joke that millennials are killing.
Exactly.
We're able to stay afloat.
Spending money on those things. So what this is going to do is it's going to stagnate the economy. So there's going to be less houses being bought, less cars going to be bought. So everything that was going to basically, this was essentially the student debt pause was essentially a stimulus to the economy. Once this ends, that is gone. And we're going to see, and in my opinion, there may be more instances of unemployment. There's going to be more instances of homelessness. There's going to be more instances of student debt defaults. So it's actually going to be a ripple effect to a potential recession, in my opinion. So I think this is very short-sighted, and I don't think Biden should have allowed this in his deal because all of those things that I pointed out. So it's very concerning to me that this is going to potentially happen, but we do know that we actually don't know if they have the votes in Congress because there potentially may be some opposition from not only the Democrats,
Andre, Pramila Jayapal has said earlier today she is officially a no vote on the debt deal, as well as AOC and Ro Khanna.
Also, the Freedom Caucus is railing against the bill. So we don't actually know if they have the votes. But if it does get through, this can be a major, major problem for student loan borrowers for a very, very long time. And there will probably more than 100% likely no extension to the pause. And then those repayments will start. And we can see a crap ton of defaults happen.
Oh, and to give the listeners a little bit of context to just how much money we're talking about, the financial firm Jefferies estimates that once federal student loan repayments begin, they will cost roughly 45 million borrowers a combined $18 billion per month, potentially having a significant impact on the broader U.S. economy, in addition to placing major strain on individuals and families. $18 billion per month that could have been spent in any industry imaginable is instead going to go back to these parasitic student loan organizations that have essentially preyed on the American myth that you need to have education or you're not able to, you know, advance in society, pull yourself up by the bootstraps or whatever. And the average federal student loan payment in the U.S. is around $400 per month. Think about what the average American could do with $400 per month. Like, I hate to make this joke, but the avocado toast industry is in a lot of trouble if millennials don't have their extra $400 per month. You know, the Starbuckses and all the stuff that older Americans love to rip on young people for not being able to afford, when in reality, it's this. It's our student loan payments. It's housing. It's the cost of rent, keeping a roof over your head, it's health insurance, it's all of these mandated spending every single month that I think a lot of older Americans kind of took for granted because they didn't have this massive financial burden that has been bestowed upon younger Americans. So this conversation is only just getting started. And Andre, I'm so glad to have you joining us today to cover it. We're going to continue after the break a little bit with the debt ceiling bill, but man, just hearing those numbers, $18 billion per month, $18 billion. Can you imagine? Each individual American, the average federal student loan payment of $400 per month. I can't, you give me $400 extra per month. Like I said, it's not just a couple extra zeros in some incredibly wealthy individual's bank account. This is money that's going right back to your community. This is money that's going to local restaurants. This is money that's going to local mom and pop shops. This is money that's going to entertainment, mini golf, going to see a movie. You listed a bunch of them, Andre. Going to events, purchasing tickets to, you know, a Brewers game or something that stimulates the local economy. Invaluable amounts of currency that is going to get thrown back into this cesspool of student loan repayment. So we're going to continue on this topic right after the break. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian and Will and Evan. If you got a tangent you'd like to share with us today, please throw it our way, 844-967-2789. Throw us some stories about student loan repayment yourself. I want to hear about it. This impacts everybody. We'll see you right after the break.
Love the outdoors but lack the gear to explore it? River West Outdoor Pro Shop has everything you need. Rock climbing, snowshoeing, kayaking, and more. Don't know what you need? Come visit the shop located in the basement of the Walkie Turners at 1034 North Velar Phillips Avenue. Their friendly staff will help you find what you need. For questions and hours, call 414-272-1733, extension 16. 414-272-1733, extension 16.
Radio. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies tonight with a slight chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 62. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 89. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
From Five Points and beyond. From Southeast Wisconsin and to the world. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Tangents. It is Wednesday, May 31st. I'm joined today by, of course, Evan Rock in the production booth and Andre Walton, the executive director of Our Wisconsin Revolution. Andre, we're talking student loan repayment in the debt ceiling bill. And I want to add kind of to something we touched on briefly before the break, but with a lot of, conservative elected officials and their attacking of the poor, I do want to note that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy attended California State University Bakersfield. Tuition and fees were in inflation adjusted $1,982 when he attended. Today, millions and millions of Americans have double digit, very frequently in the tens of thousands of dollars, you noted yourself that you do, worth of student loan debt. Debt Collective, the nation's first debtors union, wrote on Twitter that this has huge and catastrophic financial implications for 50 million plus people. 50 million plus Americans that have serious student loan debt might now be forced back into the payment plan that could cost them on average about $400 per person that could be going into otherwise economically stimulating purchases. Andre, anything else you want to add before we move on to the next subject?
Yeah, I just want to add two things. So I just want to put the reminder out there that student loan debt is the only thing you cannot file bankruptcy for in America. So let's say a lot of former students start to default on their debts, it's still going to be with them. They can't file for bankruptcy. The second thing that Will pointed out is that the average payment for a student loan per month is $400 a month. Half of the country can't afford a $400 emergency. So how are they going to afford these renewing payments of student
$400 payments? Emergency every single month.
Exactly. So yeah, this is just very, very worrisome to me.
So we're going to jump to the call line. We got Tom from McFarland on line one. Tom, thanks for calling into Dueling Tangents. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. And, just to build more on the student loan, I encourage callers, if you have student loans, make sure you go to the student loan website, because there are a variety of different payment plans that are available for you that can help lower those costs depending on what your circumstances are. And even if you're making a $5 payment, that counts as a payment. And, within the student loans, once you get to X number of payments, and unfortunately for the average student loan, it's 20 years, but once you've made those payments, even if it's zero, even if it's five, that loan will be forgiven. If you're in the public service, make sure you're taking account those payments as well. Don't just sit there and say, well, I guess I'm stuck making this massive payment that I cannot afford. There are options, and I encourage students to explore those options
and do what's best for them. Don't let the government tell you this is what you have to pay without figuring out for certain what it is that you have to pay.
Thanks, Tom. You always got to be as well informed as possible. Andre, any comments or concerns in regards?
Yeah, that is very true. You can have a certain payment and apply for income-based payment. But here's one of the major problems with that. It's called compound interest. If you're paying, let's say, $20 a month or $40 a month, the interest on your loan is going to continue to increase. So a lot of time what happens in these loans is people are just paying off little parts of the interest, but while they're paying off small portions of the interest is actually growing. So what we're noticing with those type of payment plans is that people's loans are increasing. So they may be paying longer term. They might be paying, instead of 40 years, they're paying 50 years or 60 years. So
are you seeing stories of someone who's paid $80,000 back on a $50,000 loan and they still owe $100,000?
Exactly. So yes, you have to be educated about these things, but be very, very careful about compound interest. That is why a lot of people will just settle for the $400 payment or whatever, because they don't want to continue to have compound interest. So it's a very serious problem, and you have to be educated about the compound interest part of it too.
You have to be vigilant. You have to be watching out for yourself, because nobody else is going to watch out for you. So, Andre, give me a little heads up for the last couple minutes of the show. What's Our Wisconsin Revolution working on? What you got coming up in the near future?
Yeah, Our Wisconsin Revolution, we're going to host a Medicare for All forum in Milwaukee. It's going to be at the Milwaukee Area Labor Council, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, Voces de la Frontera, United Electric, and also Wisconsin Poor People's Campaign have been officially endorsed this forum. And the purpose of this forum is to reignite the conversation around Medicare for All and get the real stories of people who are struggling with healthcare problems. We are the only industrialized nation that does not guarantee healthcare to all of its citizens. And as a result, we have medical bankruptcies, we have less efficient care, and we also have serious problems with, I'm losing the word, but yes, that is the point of the forum. So we want to reignite the conversation. We are also hosting, and the forum is going to be on June 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. We're also going to be hosting the Our Wisconsin Revolution State Convention. That is going to be on July 15th from 11 to 7 p.m. Details are still coming out, but if you're interested in coming, it's going to be in Madison. It's going to be at the MATC Truax campus. So definitely mark your calendars if you guys want to come hang with us, learn a little bit more about the organization, and talk about some advocacy work that we're working on.
Wonderful. Thanks, Andre. Brian from Madison's on line one. Brian, I want to get you in quick. The last couple minutes in the show. How are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon? What's going on?
Good. Just wanted to real quick on the student debt. I went to college because I was told I needed to, because that's what my entire generation was told, because these jobs require a 4-year degree now, that for absolutely no reason. It just requires it. No skills that you actually learned in college are going to help you do that job. And I'm on the graduated income-based repayment plan. But again, compounding interest, this is just a payment I get to make for the rest of my life. I will never be free of it. This is just a new way for rich folks to get the poor to tithe to them.
It's indentured servitude. You are forever stuck under their umbrella.
Yep, that was the thought. All right, have a good one.
Thanks so much, Brian. No, I agree. And there are thousands and thousands of stories, millions of stories across the United States of people just like Brian. I think a really important educational conversation that we will be having, spoiler alert, on Dueling Tangents either this week or in the next week, related to the education myth. Professor John Shelton, brilliant professor from UW Green Bay, is going to be on to talk about exactly what Brian just said, how we were kind of, as a generation, shepherded into college. You can't get a good job without going to college. You have to do it. And how that kind of allowed the cost of college to spiral and skyrocket, and then allowed those who were forced to take out loans to be trapped in this system of repayment that doesn't allow them any economic mobility. They can't spread their wings. They can't take risks. So we'll get to that in the coming days. There's so much to talk about in the state of Wisconsin. Andre, thanks for joining me today, this Wednesday afternoon. We had a lot of fun talking about student loan debt, even though it's not a very fun topic. It's very important, and I think all Wisconsinites need to be on top of this, because I guarantee you know someone who was directly impacted by this. We got a fabulous guest tomorrow. Professor Harvey Kay is going to be on to talk about the 21st Century Economic Bill of Rights. It's going to be a real fun show, folks. You're not going to want to miss it. Happy Wednesday, my third favorite Wednesday of the week. We will see you tomorrow on my second favorite Wednesday of the week. Take it easy, party people.
Have a good one, everyone.
If you love to spend time in the kitchen, elevate your cooking game with a pantry full of premium hemp products from Mary Jane's Hemp Shop in Waukesha. Mary Jane sells flights of Himalayan sea salt, raw sugar flights, local raw honey, and just in time for summer, a variety of salt rubs for meat and grilling. Not sure how to use the products in your own kitchen? Check out Mary Jane's YouTube channel for ideas and recipes. Elevate your cooking game at Mary Jane's Hemp Shop, 335 West Main Street, Waukesha, or online at maryjanespantry.shop.
The four most dreaded words. My computer is down. Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC It Back Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCItBack.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.